The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even the tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I invite you to join with me in prayer this morning. O Lord, we pray, speak in this place, in the calming of our minds and the longing of our hearts, by the words that I say and the thoughts that we form. Speak, O Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. On this Gaudete or Joy Sunday, we celebrate that very thing. We celebrate joy. But this week, our gospel lesson, takes a radical turn and focuses on this wild man named John wearing camel hair who apparently emerges out of the desert just long enough to cry out, "Bear fruits worthy of repentance." And then he fades back into the wilderness where he continues to eat bugs. Now, most of us hear the words of this prophet, and based on his tone and images of his exhortation that we create in our minds, immediately jump to our internal checklists of stuff that we should do, the stuff, things done or left undone, as the words of our confession would have it, and begin this internal dialogue. Okay, I have shared my coat and my food with others. I have not defrauded anyone, nor have I extorted from anyone. But this morning, I invite us to go a bit deeper. Our message this week extends beyond this checkoff list. It points to spiritual transformation. A spiritual transformation is a movement or change to a greater or lesser extent to our outlook, our attitude, to what we hold as spiritual and sacred in our lives. And as inhabitants of this planet and members of society, we strive to be very clear
on what we know and what we see and what we seek in our world. This clarity allows us to keep ourselves grounded in an otherwise chaotic world. But transformation poses many questions for us to ponder, questions that are especially important for us to consider in the days before Christmas. What are my deep commitments of the heart? What are my yearnings of the heart? What am I passionately expecting anyway? What am I truly looking forward to this Advent season? What am I looking for in this community? Another question that may help us answer the prior ones is to spend some time thinking about what you spend your time doing. And then ask yourself, do those actions reflect what I want my deepest and greatest convictions to be? Now, almost all of us spend many, many hours a week earning money and then spending it. And that's even truer during this season of Advent than probably any other season. Although some of you may raise your hand and say, Halloween is pulling up a close second, if not has overtaken the spending. That aside, beyond paying for the necessities of life like rent and our mortgage, utilities, what deep convictions of the heart do your purchases reflect this season? And I ask this not through the lens of shame, but rather I ask it to highlight what those purchases privately show what you are looking for. For what are you searching? At Church Without Walls, many of the folks in attendance simply hope for a warm place to stay, food to sustain their bodies, perhaps a chance to see their kids. But most of all, they long for the company of others to nourish their spirits, and they long for the opportunity to stop. The unhoused spend much of their time in motion, either in search of those necessities of life or in moving what little they have from place to place. It's a barren, busy, and lonely world on the streets. It's not that fruit-bearing motion that we are called to do. It's exhaustive. Church Without Walls is a transformative place for those we serve. But let me add another side to that. The transformation that comes from joy from Church Without Walls has been a place of transformation for me and for those who serve the barren, the busy, and the lonely. And I invite you to enter into that transformative joy just as the children and the parents of our Sunday school, led by Miss Anna, will do so today. More about that later. So this Advent, I invite you to be mindful of what you are looking for. Are you eagerly awaiting the transformative power of God into your life? And how is the transformative power of God working in and through you this season? In what way is God tugging at your heart? In this season of preparation, our busy sidewalks, city sidewalks, blink a bright red and green, and above all, the bustle you hear silver bells while shoppers rush home with their treasures. For many, a part of the season involves decorating and purchasing our way into a transformation that we hope will lead us out of the gloom and darkness-induced pain of this world. So I ask, are you providing yourself with time? Are you providing yourself with the space for God to enter in? Or are you like me, anxiously looking at your list of 1,001 things that you have yet to do and fretting that you have less than a week and a half to accomplish them? Transformation can only take place where there is space in order to do so. The change doesn't have to be great. The change can be big, can be small. But any changes in your life would lead you to new ideas or new circumstances, opens the door for this transformation. So therefore, transformation is not static. This year, we find ourselves both personally and corporately in a much different place than last year. And this interim period provides our community that space to wonder, to experiment, and to move in different directions, to bear fruit in new and healthy ways. This is the year of new hope, new possibilities, new challenges, and those call us into that place of transformation so that we, as community gathered, can be a place of transformation for those who are not gathered here. We all have this benefit of gathering in this place, in a procession of sorts, Sunday by Sunday, while still others are unable to join us, but long for the joy and the connectivity of a worshiping community. They simply cannot make it to church for a myriad of reasons. And for this reason, we will be trying something new in the coming year. We will be building a team that will live stream our services. And I invite you to join Davitopia in that effort. Won't you help us to extend our worshiping community beyond these walls? Transformation, by definition, is the change. And again, transformation is not static. It is a move toward Christ Jesus. But in this season of Advent, even as little as we have left of it, we cannot forward straight to Christmas. We cannot short-circuit the remaining days. So too, our community needs a season of preparation and transformation and hope and joy, as we cannot fast forward directly to the call of the next rector. But our opening collect that Pastor Susan read at the beginning of our service says it well, and we prayed, "Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us." In our tradition, we traditionally have called this Stir Up Sunday, based on this prayer and the making of Christmas puddings. And like John the Baptist, our collect, those words, remind us to prepare our hearts for God is near, and that this season is not business as usual. So in this third week of Advent, I invite you to venture into a place of your passion, of transformation, of love, of joy, and let the power of the transformative God stir in you. We are lucky enough that, we may not have the allure of John the Baptist, his diet of bugs, his home in the woods, or even his wardrobe of camel's hair and a leather belt. But let's try to live in such a way that the deep yearning of our hearts are revealed as it was in John's. and the church responds. Amen. Amen.